it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
It's Loud and Local here on 99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. We got a band called The Subjunctives. They are back at it again. They have a new album, and it's appropriately called Let's Try This Again, available on the 16th. They're going to be playing a record release show on the 16th. That's next Saturday at the Cottontail Club, a.k.a. Lucas, and that's at the old Sit and Spin space downtown Seattle. And welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Of course. Welcome back to the show, rather. We did a show in the old days, you know, but you guys are back at it, and let's reacquaint yourselves with the audience. Tell me what your name is and what you do in the Subjunctives.
I'm Ian. I sing and play guitar.
I'm Jeff. I sing and play bass.
I'm Wendell. I play drums and sing sometimes.
And Wendell, you're a new member since we last talked with Subjunctives. So tell me, how did you join the Subjunctives?
I have a buddy who moved up from the Bay Area, and he's just kind of perusing Craigslist for bands to play with. Sent it my way, and it fit the bill. I mean, it's catchy, fun pop punk, and the requirements were one practice a week, one show a month, one album a year, and I figured I could probably hang with that. So I came and auditioned, and they were into it. Worked out.
Awesome. Are you originally from this area?
No, but I've been here for 12 years or so. So
cool.
Pretty much native at this point.
Awesome. Had you ever heard of the Subjunctives before?
No, I'd heard of Sicko.
Yeah.
I did some high school years in Walla Walla, and I had a band called The Sickos.
Oh.
And somebody told us that we absolutely could not use that name because there was a band already named Sicko.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Well, so, you know, this new album, you know, how long had you guys been working on it? Was this something you guys were kind of burrowed up and working on during the pandemic, or...?
Oh, God, it feels like we've been working on it forever. Many of the songs were actually getting demoed and tried out before the pandemic, and then the pandemic sort of shut everything down, and it slowed down my writing quite a bit. I wasn't super into it at that time.
Pretty sure some of the songs started when Matt was still in the band.
I've got demos of What's Up with me and Matt playing. Yeah, definitely. But so there's sort of a, you know, I tend to write a ton of songs all the time, lots of little demos, and poor Jeff has had to like occasionally listen through the SoundCloud and just like filter through all the dreck in there.
He's not kidding. there's some crap in there. Like,
but there's also some crap plus.
I mean, some of it's, you know, like, crap all right, plus. We can polish this up and turn this into a song.
Yeah.
Other times, it's like, oh, Ian Hernandez has posted a new song, and you go and listen to it, and it's like humming some melody.
That's true. You're not wrong. So, yeah, we got COVID kind of wound down, and that was the time that Matt decided to tell us he wasn't coming back.
Okay.
So we reached out, and as Wendell outlined, the Craigslist gods smiled upon us and brought us wonderful Wendell. And we got straight to it. I mean, we had a gig, like, at the crack in, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks after he started. So that was a real lift. And then we just, that was sort of late summer, and then we headed for our usual Woodshed weekend, where we rent a house out in Raymond, Washington, and we just practice all weekend long and cook and hang out and mix drinks and sit, hang around the hot tub. It's so much fun. It's like total, like, camaraderie building.
That's awesome.
But also just like you will learn some songs when you're playing music all day long with your buddies.
Yeah.
And then, and we had in our mind to go to Chicago and record. So that took a little bit at Steve Albini's studio with a guy named Matt Allison, who's a pretty famous pop punk engineer and producer. And so that all took a lot of time to wind up. And then we got back, and then we started in on the sort of what I think of as the sort of 2020s version of mixing, which, you know, before it was like three dudes in the room, like looming over the engineer.
Sure.
Going, oh, I can't hear my bass or whatever. And yeah. Now you get them an email. And okay. So there was a lot of fixing, a lot of debating, a lot of mixing and remixing. And it was a little over a year later that the vinyl actually showed up. So
wow.
It was a long process. I think we've discussed, we're very happy with how it sounds. We, you know, I think it's a great record. I'm really proud of it. I know that other guys are too. We have talked about ways to maybe try and shorten that process so it could be maybe a year sure. Instead of two or three or five.
I think next time we should just, you know, try to avoid having a global pandemic in the middle of the process.
That might be nice. Yeah.
We call Jeff our idea man. He's basically the guy with the plan.
I like that. So you're like, okay, let's avoid doing this global pandemic thing. And okay, nice.
Yeah, well, that'd be a good idea. Next time, you know, for the sake of our band. Thanks.
Yeah, sounds good. So this record release show, you guys are going to be playing with a band that you're very familiar with, the Drolls.
Yeah.
So you were in a band called Sicko, not the Sickos. Sorry, that was your band, yes. Wendell. Sicko. And so you're playing with other members of Sicko.
Yeah.
On this
Those are my old buddies. You know, Danny and I went to college together in WSU in the 80s.
Yeah.
And then we moved out here and started Sicko. We played for a good, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, something like that. And then, you know, we've stayed buddies the whole time, and we've gotten back together a few times, and we hang out a lot. In fact, we just shot a video for us, Subjunctives,
yeah.
Called Thanks for Driving Me Home, Old Friend. And all the members of Sicko are actors in the video.
That's
which
awesome.
Is really fun. So we play a ton of shows with them. We're kind of, you know, in the same bailiwick of music, I think. And
the what?
Bailiwick.
Yeah, what is that?
Kind of your Oxford over here.
General area, I think, is the way to think of it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're sort of the same sort of band as they're a little maybe more indie-er, and we're a little bit more pop punker. We do a lot of gigs together.
Awesome.
And so it's super fun to play with them. I get to watch them play, and they're great. They even do a couple Sicko songs, and it's fun to, like, watch other people do that. And then I think they probably enjoy watching Subjunctives as
sure.
well.
Sure.
Yeah, now we're going to have this battle of the bands.
There you go.
So watch out, Drolls. We're coming for you.
And the Trash Sound Conglomerate, again, that's going down Saturday, September 16th. That's next Saturday for the Subjunctives album release of Let's Try This Again, available on vinyl. And CD as well as streaming. So did you ever play the old Sit and Spin back when you were in Sicko?
Yep. Played there with Sicko. In fact, played there also in my other band, Tales from the Birdbath, with Dirt Bike Annie, who are reforming and coming out to play here at the Seattle Pop Punk Festival coming up in this January 18th, 19th, and 20th at Slim's.
Awesome.
And it's a place that actually I used to hang out at. I mean, you could go there and eat, and, you know, it was like a
Slim's Last Chance. Sit and Spin.
The Sit and Spin, yeah. The old Sit and Spin.
Go do your laundry and watch a show.
Yeah, and I think you could have, I think next door is the Two Bells, and you could get burritos. It was pretty cool. And it was definitely a sort of grunge era fixture. It's totally different now, though. They've gutted it, and they've turned it into a really nice bar. It's like, it's practically fancy in there, which is amazing.
They serve blue drinks, from what I've seen.
Yes.
I've seen the photos.
Wow.
It's swank and swell. We actually went to go see Wendell's surf band did their, the Desolate Coast, they did their record release show there. And once I figured out how to get in, because it's one of these back-in-the-alley door, like, speakeasy kind of places.
Sure.
I was like watching Wendell's awesome band play in a really cool venue, and it was pretty sick. So we were thinking that might be a really fun place to do our record release at.
Absolutely. That sounds awesome. Right on. Well, let's go into one of your songs. We're going to go into It's a Shame We Didn't Get More Time, Lance. And what's the deal with this this song here?
So you may be familiar with a band called J Church.
Yes.
So J Church, and then before that, their band before that called Cringer, were really big influences for me musically in a lot of ways, got me started on pop punk.
Yeah.
With a couple of other sort of key bands like the Fastbacks, Green Day's first record.
Yeah.
And sort of blew my mind when I heard that music. And then we became friends with them in Sicko, and we would go on tours with them. We had the same booking agent, so we'd go on tour with Mr. T Experience and J Church and Sicko.
Yeah.
And we got to be friends and had lots of stories and such, many of which are recounted in this. Like, I remember I was at the Epicenter Zone, which was a punk rock cooperative record store in the Mission District down in San Francisco. We were down there to tour.
Yeah.
And I was flipping through the bins, and I saw the new J Church record, and their previous band had been called Cringer, which I just loved. I have the world's only Cringer tattoo.
Whoa. Nice.
So okay. I was standing there with Josh, the drummer from Sicko, and said, "Oh, it's the new J Church. It's this new band." Yeah. I liked Cringer better, you know, and the thing is, standing right next to me was this guy I didn't know who it was at the time. Turned out that was Lance from Cringer and J Church,
Their
main songwriter. And we became friends. We toured together. We hung out a lot. They'd come into town. We'd go into town. We'd go on the road. He never stopped calling me Ian. I liked Cringer better, Hernandez. So that was basically, he mocked me for it for the rest of my time I knew him. Unfortunately, he had some serious health problems and passed away in the early 2000s. Mm. I think he was, I mean, he might have been in his mid-30s.
Wow.
So it was a real kind of surprise and shock and sort of, you know, a way for me it was like, wow, you can never really go back to those times. And, you know, the song is really about, you know, it's a shame that we didn't get more time. Yeah. So it's a lot of great stories about him, and it's had a great reaction from the sort of 90s underground pop punk people. Lance's old partner and bandmates and stuff have all reached out and you know, and expressed their thanks. They helped me get pictures for the video that I the sort of a lyric video with lots of pictures, like slideshow video that I put together for it. So it's a real labor of love and like a very true story about, you know, stuff that really happened. But what I like about it is that, you know, we managed to make it a fun sounding song and a sweet song and sentimental song, but not like a sad or like maudlin song.
Yeah.
And Jeff dropped this sick hook on the vocals and the chorus.
Nice.
That just makes the whole song. Like, la, la, la. It's really good. And it basically all came together. It's definitely one of my favorite songs in this record.
That's awesome. All right. Well, let's go into it, man. Thank you for sharing that story. And that was awesome, man. I mean, not awesome circumstances, but it's great that you were able to write that song for him. So it's a shame we didn't get more time. Lance from the new Subjunctives record. Let's try this again. They're going to be playing again on the Cottontail Club, a.k.a. the Luca, the old Sit and Sip In space. That's going down next Saturday, September 16th. Here's the Subjunctives here on Loud and Local. We'll be right back.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Subjunctives here on Loud and Local, and they're going to be playing Saturday, September 16th at the Luca, aka Old Sit and Spend Space, the Cottontail Club, whatever you want to call it. They're going to be playing downtown Seattle next Saturday, September 16th, with the Drolls and Trash Sound Conglomerate for the record release show of Let's Try This Again. You guys, you know, and this is something that you guys wrote in the past. You guys even did a video for it, the At the Kraken, and I did a special episode when the Kraken was closing its doors, the original Kraken was closing its doors, and I had a really special night that night, you know, kind of devoting the airwaves to all the bands that were, you know, made that their home. But we have some good news in that the Kraken is resurfacing in the old Cafe Racer out on Roosevelt, and the Kraken will write again, guys.
Rising from the depths.
Yes. Does that mean a lot to you guys?
Yeah. Of course, those people are.
I mean, that's kind of a leading question, I guess, right?
Those are that's family. Like, it sucked to see that have to stop for them so suddenly. So, you know, I'm very happy that they're going to be able to continue existing and helping to continue support smaller bands. Places like that are super important. I think we've definitely talked about that before in the past. You know, that's where younger bands come up and cut their teeth.
Yeah.
And where some of us older bands just continue to
fester.
fester.
Okay, so what, you know, when you first started playing here in Seattle with Sicko, and what were the venues that you first started playing at? Was it Sit and Spin, or was it, you know, Velvet Elvis, or what was your Paradox? Or
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Oh, those
Redmond Firehouse.
Most of those actually were after we got started.
Okay, cool. Okay.
And our first show was at a house party up the street where Stumpy Joe used to practice, and then our second one was in Airway Heights, Spokane, because our guitar player Denny, he had, you know, Spokane connections, so like a Grange Hall. I think fairly soon after that we must have played a show at the Off Ramp. Mm-hmm. Which now is called the Core Zone.
Yep.
And, you know, there was a place called the Storeroom, which was on the same street that the Victory used to be on.
Yeah.
The Ditto Tavern, which is this crazy beatnik tavern with like typewriters everywhere. Mm-hmm. And the guy was like, the guy who ran it was some super crazy old beatnik, and he would like not pay you. He just randomly just said, you're not getting paid, you know? And so there were many sort of little venues like that kind of came and went. The Rendezvous, the Jewel Box Theater.
Yeah.
We used to rent that back when it was like a legit horrifying dive bar.
Wow.
People that were just drinking in there from 6 a.m. to all day.
Mm-hmm.
We played there a couple of years ago now. Though, and it was nice.
Yeah, it's nice now. It's super nice. So there's a lot of venues that have come and gone. I mean, the Rock Candy, we used to play there. It's not even a place anymore.
Yeah. It's a hotel.
Yeah. So there's a ton of places that come and go. I remember the old firehouse. We were like, what is this? And they're like, yeah, there's kids in the suburbs. They want to see shows, and they're doing it in an old firehouse. And we're like, okay. And we went out there, and it was crazy. Like, it was, I remember kids would come to those shows, and I think they didn't really know what punk dressing punk looked like. They just dressed weird.
Yeah.
Kids walking around in moon boots and just crazy outfits. And like they're like, this is like a kind of carnival almost like environment. So it was a really exciting time to be involved, you know, in music and in playing those old venues. I think of the ones we played back in the day, the only ones that are still here would be the Showbox, would be the Jewel Box Theater, and would be the Off Ramp, which has now gone through, you know, many different names since the Total Zone today. I can't think of, I bet if Denny was here, he could think of one or two, but I can't think of any others that are still around. We're so lucky we had the Kraken. It's like, those places would let a punk band play, but mostly they were letting, like, kind of, you know, whatever alternative or grunge bands play or metal bands.
Yeah.
So they might let you play, or you might play with some other bands that didn't really fit your genre.
Yeah.
Whereas a place like the Kraken is a punk club.
Totally.
And it's and I, when I'm there, it's a pop punk club.
Yeah.
You know, at least, and most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, that's what's going on. And
there are other people, though, who would say, that's a metal bar.
That's true. They do them. Yeah, that's true.
Splits. You got your punk and then metal shows.
That was a cool thing about the last, you know, few weeks. They had, it was like every different night you could go. It was like screamo night, pop punk night, hardcore night, metal night. They really do. You know, they're kind of the so much epicenter of so many different scenes. So you guys are tried and true pop punk. You guys help out with the pop punk festival. Is that, do you book the pop punk festival? Is that what you book?
I book the pop punk festival. I run it. I provide all the gear. I pay
so,
the bands.
Okay. So it's yours.
A lot of people claim to defend pop punk.
Yes.
But like Ian is like actually like putting in the.
He is schlepping amps for pop punk.
So go along with me here. Humor me. We know the big four of American thrash metal, right? Megadeth, Anthrax, Slayer, Metallica.
Yeah.
What's the big four of pop punk? In your opinion, your big four.
My big four of pop punk, Jeff's going to laugh so hard.
And you guys can also give yours.
For me, the Fastbacks, of course, are the greatest band in history. So they're definitely in there. Cringer, which no one's ever heard of except for me and like three other guys. Would be...
That's the big four.
The big four of pop punk.
Big band Cringer.
Yes, the big, huge band Cringer. I would say, man, if I had to really split some hairs, I'd put the Descendants in there, and I would probably put the Mr. T Experience. Those are Ian's big four pop punk bands. And I want to put one more. There needs to be five, Snuff. I think Snuff can be on that.
Okay. Sounds good. Jeff?
I mean, Ian's list is clearly flawed.
It's insane.
It's insane. Because how do you have a big four of pop punk and not have Green Day on there?
You know.
They're probably, like, the biggest.
Yeah,
they are.
That's right. But not for me.
But not for you.
Okay, well, how about this? We'll play a game here. So I had a power metal band on the show, on Metal Shop, actually, and I played a game where I was like, all right, so is this power metal or is it, you know, is it not power metal? Yeah. So I'm going to go through some bands.
Are we playing the same game?
Yeah, no, not power metal.
Is it power metal?
No.
I only know one.
Is it pop punk or is it not pop punk? True pop punk, all right? So we're gatekeeping pop punk here. So,
okay.
Blink-182, is it pop punk or not pop punk?
I think so. Yeah, it's definitely pop punk.
It's pop punk? Okay. All right. It's okay.
Yeah.
Jawbreaker.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely
pop punk?
I think that's not only pop punk. That's our pop punk. That's like we're in that sort of... you know, pretensions of intelligentsia pop punk. It's like
pop punk's a very big umbrella
with MTX and J Church and bands like that. I would say not only is it, it's our tribe.
Yeah, it starts to diverge a little bit into some other things, I think, with them, but
yeah,
Ramones.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
All right, that's what I always said. I was like, come on, Ramones are like pretty much a pop punk band.
It sort of follows though because.
I mean, they were punk, but...
If you go deep on 70s punk, right, 85% of it is pop punk.
Yeah.
They listen to those old bands, and it's like they hadn't gotten to that sort of dark tone. There were a few bands. Sure. There weren't that many, though, doing that. It's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
So I kind of say, like, almost all 70s punk is pop punk.
And totally.
I mean, the Ramones wanted to do, like, the Beach Boys songs. Yeah. They were trying to be the Beach Boys, yeah, a pop band. So, I mean, pop, yeah, punk.
You can listen to Stiff Little Fingers, listen to the Buzzcocks. Undertones, Buzzcocks, yeah, Rudy. You know, all those bands are, like... they're, you know, it's 1-4-5, baby.
I think there's,
you
know, a lot of bands that can just fall under pop punk. It's just, there's a lot, you know.
Hooky major, yeah, major chords, yeah, just sped up to, you know.
Some harmonies here and there. Mm-hmm.
A little bit sloppy.
Yep.
Right on.
So,
well,
now we're doing power metal.
Yes, now we're doing power. No. So this record release show is coming out, and after the record release show, do you guys have any plans for the rest of the year? Or anything?
Well, we had a sort of strange turn of events. I can't remember if it was before or after the record release, but we were going to go on tour with a band in the Midwest called Bad Year, and Toby from Red Scare put me in touch with them. They're one of several bands that's named Bad Year after a Sicko song called, mm-hmm, Bad Year.
Yeah.
I think there's three out there. So he said, these guys, we wanted to go to the Midwest because we really enjoyed Chicago, and we wanted to go back. And I said, hey, can you put me in touch with someone and that would like to tour with us and kind of help us get the shows together? And he said, these comprised guys are probably going to want to help you because they're, you know, they like Sicko. And they were great, reached out to them. We had a tour booked. We had a tour poster set up. Everything was really, we were like sort of picking our, you know, are we going to stay in this hotel or this Airbnb? And then, unbelievably tragically, their drummer passed away.
Wow.
You know, maybe a month ago.
Wow.
So we had really kind of framed the rest of 2023 around this, I think it was a 6 or 8 day tour,
yeah,
of the Midwest. And, you know, we were kind of thinking, oh, we might take maybe a month off or something, yeah, after that and kind of regroup and, you know, and then, you know, make it to the festival, which is in January. But now we're sort of talking about maybe rebooking that tour in the winter, late winter, early spring. And so we're actually trying to figure out what to do about shows, yeah, for the rest of the year. Definitely, there is the record release party on the 16th, and then there is going to be the Seattle Pop Punk Festival at Slim's Last Chance. And
when's those dates again?
18th, 19th, and 20th.
Of September?
Of January.
January, okay. Yeah. Awesome.
And of course, the record release party on the 16th of September.
Nice.
I'm sure we'll have a few shows pop up in between.
We got to figure something out.
Nice, man. Well, hey, man, don't rush it, dude. You guys are, you guys worked really hard on this record, and, you know, you got to hunker down and spend some time in a cabin together. And play some music, man. So let's go into another one of the songs. We're going to go into I Don't Have the Time. Is that right?
Yeah.
I Don't Have the Time. And you want to explain this one? Hey. Huh?
Yeah, this song is just kind of about, like, dealing with stupid people.
Yeah.
Like, spending a lot of time, like, arguing on the internet. It's just such a waste. It's pointless. And it's kind of me. I just stopped wanting to deal with that crap.
Cool.
I don't have the time for it anymore.
And neither do I, man.
It's about, like, tuning out the people going blah, 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 and that's all I hear.
That's okay, man. Well, I Don't Have the Time. It's the Subjunctives here. You can catch them on the 16th. And, again, that is at the Luca, the old Sit and Spin space. So
we're
here it is.
For you, Drolls.
Yes. Subjunctives here.
Stop. They're going to give me such trouble about that.
On Loud and Local.
Time.
I don't have the time. It's Loud and Local here on The Rock, and we're talking with the Subjunctives. They're going to be playing Saturday, September 16th at Luca, and that's the old Sit and Spin space. That's old. That's downtown Seattle, and they're going to be playing with the Drolls Trash Sound Conglomerate Saturday, September 16th for the Let's Try This Again record release show. The hard-hitting questions, guys. Favorite Northwest bands of all time?
Well, I mean, the greatest band in history is the Fastbacks, so that's easy. I have to say, man, the Beat Happening
is
one of the best, coolest, most intelligent bands. You know who's a great Northwest band? I think they count as Northwest, around Vancouver, the Pointed Sticks.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard them. They were probably the first pop punk band on the West Coast, 1978, with their first single, Epic. And then, of course, cannot even forget Bum, who are a Victoria, BC band, one of the like most hookiest, rockinest, double-up Marshall amp bands ever. Jeff's other band, Four Lights.
They kick ass. Great band.
They're great. They've got one of my favorite songs on their first, on the end, I don't know why it's on the end, of their first record. And so it's called Sappy Love Song. That is all hooks all day long.
All hooks, baby.
There's a lot of great bands in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, particularly pop punk bands in the current context.
Nice.
But those are a few of maybe my favorites.
Right on. And Jeff, how about you?
That's just a few. Of
How many did I do? Like nine.
Jeff, how about you, man?
Well, hold on. Let me give you the history are we just going Northwest bands? Or?
Yeah, favorite Northwest bands of all time.
Oh, there's a great band who played the Pop Punk Fest who was from Vancouver called The Transmitters.
Okay.
I love that band. I drive up to Vancouver whenever I get a chance to go see them, so I would include them. Grew up listening to a lot of MXPX,
too. Yes, absolutely.
Who they also have a great new album.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, MXPX is a huge one for me. I like the Blood Brothers, the Catheters, those were like pretty big ones for me in high school. Most like top of mind recently, Zeke started practicing downstairs from us.
So fast.
And
so tight.
It's wild to listen to their practices because it is absolutely.
They can rage.
Just mind.
It's actually funny when we discovered. So we were just up there and Wendell's like, oh, there's a band downstairs doing a Zeke cover. That's pretty.
And they're really, really good. Good. Yeah. I mean, they were nailing it.
So finish up, and then they're doing another one. And so by the third song, Wendell goes, "I think Zeke's practicing down below us."
That's amazing. That's awesome.
Hey. Zip gun.
In good company, dude. In good company. That's awesome. Okay, so. You've got the record coming out, and if people can't make it to the show, what's the best way to, you know, support you guys and follow along with you guys?
Best way to go is go to our store at Top Drawer Records. It's TDRECS,
awesome.
com. You can get Sicko stuff there, Drolls stuff there, and you can get all of the Subjunctive stuff you could possibly want there, including our sick new... Subhumans like parody shirt.
Yes,
that says Subjunctives with a squirrel on it. Jeff likes to feed squirrels, and this is one of his buddy squirrels.
It's adorable,
and it's it's a great send up on the sort of like, you know, classic Subhumans shirt, which would be like, you know, some sort of tanks driving over people and skeletons and stuff.
Yeah, the day the country died.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the shirt is like a parody of that album cover. Like,
amazing.
TDRECS.com. You can find us on Bandcamp too.
Yeah.
The Subjunctives, but that's the place to get it.
All right, Saturday, September 16th, again at the Cottontail Club, aka the Luca, aka the old Sit and Spin space. Subjunctives. Thank you guys for coming through. We're going to play one more song. Goodbye. I will not miss you, dicks.
But we're going to miss you. The song isn't about...
Okay. I will miss you, too. So, you know, what's this one about?
My colleagues don't listen to this.
Hope they do. I hope that they listen to it and then go to the podcast and listen to the rest of it.
I got a job at a company I really wanted to work at for a long time, and I got this opportunity, and I went there, and they put me on this team with the worst guys, and they were such dicks. And then after a year, you get to move. And so I petitioned to move to some other team, and it's great. And I wrote this song. I was like, goodbye. I will not miss you, you dicks.
There you go. All right. Well, bye-bye, dicks. It's Subjunctives. Catch them next Saturday here. It's Loud and Local. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us, Kevin.
Yeah.
Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.